after that season, I was like, I really need to make a change. Like, can't keep doing the same thing if I want to achieve the goals that I've set out. If you can get sponsorship to allow you to fully focus on your training and recovery, that really does pay dividends in terms of fulfilling my potential, and all the years that I've worked and put time and effort in, it kind of paid off. That just was a phenomenal sort of feeling.
I'm Connor Nolan, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindset, motivations, and opinions of the elite talent and brands represented by Sport Endorse. Sport Endorse is a sports management agency specializing in endorsements and commercial partnerships between athletes and organizations. Our brand new platform connects brands and athletes directly to engage and negotiate commercial opportunities and ensure alignment between brand objectives and athlete values. The platform ensures full transparency and offers an authentic sponsorship experience. Whether you're an athlete seeking sponsorship or a brand that would like to engage with any of our talent, check out the Sport Endorse platform at platform.sportendorse.com or download the Sport Endorse app to the Apple Store or Google Play. Shalaina, you're very welcome and thank you for joining us on The Sit Down.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your Twitter bio probably gives a better synopsis than I ever could. Olympian, European champion, world bronze medalist, 6 times British champion. It's an impressive CV.
Oh, thank you. I've tried these last couple of years to really just go out and show my best form and be the best version of myself. And I think I've done myself proud in some situations and, yeah, come away with some medals, which I'm proud of.
So take us back to the beginning. I mean, what got you started in athletics?
For me, I got started in athletics through my school teacher. I think I've said this times before. Like, I started off in school. I've always been quite sporty, but it all sort of come to more like when I went to secondary school. And it would just so happen that there was quite a good crop of girls who started school at the same time. So we did a lot of, in my year, we did a lot of school sport and participated in every sport under the sun, if my teacher could get me involved in it. And she was the one who introduced me to the track, Windsor Slowington and Hounslow, and took me down there. And it's stayed motivated me and encouraged me all through my career, really. We're still family, we're still friends now, we're like family. And there were times where I'd lost motivation and stuff, and she would drive me back or steer me back that way. But it was definitely my school teacher who got me involved, and I guess shone that light. And then I've been fortunate enough to have really good people in my life who have been passionate and have seen, well, I've seen that I've had potential or talent, like my first coach, Roger Hughes, who gave me a lot of time. And it was really more passion, and it helped build my sense of self. And that's kind of like where it all started.
You're probably best known for competing in and winning the 800 metres. So what drew you to that event in particular?
So when I say we got involved in school sport, we had really good athletes who already attended the club, who were really good at sprinting. I was not really standout. So there was sprinting. A few of our girls did other sports, but mainly sprinting. So I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough or better than them. So it kind of just felt like maybe I should go to middle distance. So whenever you need to fill out the teams in schools, they would take the sprints ones, and then I would just go and, yeah, I'll do the 800 or, you know, the middle distance. And that was like my thing. And I did actually, when I went to the club, I thought, oh yeah, I wanted to be a sprinter or I wanted to be a jumper. And they basically told me, I don't think you're powerful enough. Or so I just went to the middle distance group, and that's kind of where it started. But then when I hit 17, I actually became known for 400. And then went back to the 800 after 2012. So I'm more of an 8-4 runner. I'm not like, you get different kind of runners. You get like 8-4 runners or 8-15 runners. And I'm more of an 8-4 runner, more on the speedier side.
Brilliant. With this year's Olympics still very firmly in our rearview mirror, I suppose we kind of have to discuss your competing at the 2016 Olympics in Rio, and obviously you performed incredibly strongly there in that competition. What was the experience like overall?
At the time, I felt like I had the worst experience ever, just because I didn't get to the final, and that's what my goal was, and I was so annoyed with myself. And then once I allowed myself, well, tried to allow myself to sort of get over it, which it was still raw while I was out there, but I still had some really good experiences, like traveling with my family and just being in the village with athletes and just having that, I guess, individual, unique experience that you can really reflect upon. You can reflect upon that no one really has. That's when you look back, it's just really special. And I would never have had the opportunity probably, or it wasn't really on my radar to go to Brazil. And yeah, I look back and with a smile on that experience. But it was an amazing track, but I was just so annoyed that I didn't make the final because I knew I had so much more potential. But I think at the time, now looking back, I feel like I was a bit inexperienced because I made an error coming off the bend. I was so strong and a girl came out in front and clipped me and I stepped back and paused for like a long time and then came back really strong, but not enough to get into the automatic spots. So that, I think that was just really frustrating to me, but I'm kind of over it now, kind of.
I suppose looking to more recent events, and obviously you're the current British 800 champion, and with a track record of winning in that event, obviously you've unfortunately been kind of set back with injury. How did you deal with that happening, I suppose, at quite a crucial moment, and obviously meaning that you couldn't compete at the 2020 Olympics?
It's been an unusual experience because I've never not been able to compete in the season. Like, I've had injuries multiple times, like 3 weeks, bad injuries, like before my trials, and made it, pushed through and made it and won the trials. Whereas this time I've had an injury, like a leg injury for a while, and then felt that it was like on top of it, and it seemed like it was, but until as soon as I put my spikes on, it kind of regressed until it was like I was really running like myself and limping on my foot. And so I kind of had to just make the decision to just stop and just be realistic with myself. And that has been hard, but I'm known for kind of pushing through and just hoping for the best. But actually I had to just be like, no, this is not going to work. And it's given me time to just give myself a little bit of mental space and physical rest physically to get back on form to start the season again. So it's been really weird, but I feel like it was kind of out of my control. It's been a weird situation for everyone. I tried my utmost to put myself in the best position. I never, you know, I knew that I tried my best and that's it. Well, I know that I tried my best, and you know, that's all I can really take from it. It just didn't work out. It's been it's not exactly been the best time for everyone. And yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. So hopefully I'll come back stronger next year.
Absolutely. Well, listen, with such a kind of a short turnaround for the 2024 Olympics in Paris, I imagine that's something that's perhaps on your radar, is it?
Yeah, although I'm just thinking year upon year, because time goes quickly. Like, it's only 3 years, but I'm more focused on each championship year upon year and just see where that takes me. So next year you've got the World Championships in Oregon. That will be fantastic and really exciting. So hopefully I can be in that and just be in my best form. I still feel like I'm capable of running a PB. That's one of the vices. Like, I've won loads of championships and stuff, but haven't actually shown or fulfilled my potential in terms of times on the track. So I know that if I can run the times that I'm capable of, I will be competing for places and spots on the team and medals. Mainly thinking about next year World Championships and then think about the year after that, because you can think too far ahead.
Of course. Looking back, I suppose, at the, you know, at the period during the pandemic, various lockdowns and uncertainty around events and competitions, how difficult was it for you to stay motivated?
It was really hard, like, especially when it was, you know, right at the start, where it was like, it's going to be cancelled, it's not going to be cancelled. And I was in Philadelphia at the time, training out there with my group, which is a really different environment in itself. And then I'd literally just gone back out there in March and all of the stuff. And so it was really hard then, because you were kind of in limbo. And then once it was announced, it was just like a wait, because you didn't realise how much energy that was taking. That was like a lot of unconscious energy that was. So once you had a firm decision on it, that really helped. But then it allowed, it was easy to stay motivated. I stayed out there just training on my own because everyone was separate for like 3 months, because I could get more training in there than I could if I'd come home. And I just took it as a time to just make sure I was stronger in the areas that I wanted to be better in. And also that, I guess, there wasn't really that much of a stress in terms of competition. So it allowed you to spend more, well, you had to spend more time with your family anyway, just stuck in the house with them. But you could really appreciate that kind of environment more, because you weren't necessarily pushing for your running goal. So I kept motivation. I still competed as well, did some races, and yeah, I found it was okay. Once you had that kind of firm decision though, because initially it was quite stressful. I think I took probably like a week or so off once that decision was made, because it was really hard to get your head back into the game. Just give yourself that mental space and then and then go again.
Yeah. And you're a personal trainer by trade. So, I mean, obviously we've seen kind of the, you know, gyms and spaces for exercise obviously being kind of, closed very early and taking a long time to get back up and running. How was your business and your training as well affected by the pandemic?
So for myself, I think if I can remember now, because it was hard to get access into the gym, especially in Philadelphia. I actually bought a squat rack and stuff while I was away, and then had to use a lot of free weights and stuff, and really made my core strong because I did a lot of core. At home, I have a gym, fortunately. Got given some products, which was really, really helpful for me to maintain my training. So I got some consistency there. And in terms of my personal training, we moved it online. And I only have a few clients just because I travel a lot and it's really hard to stay consistent with everyone. You want to be reliable. But actually moved online, which was for some of my clients, they really, really enjoyed that. So it was fine overall.
Great. So for you at the moment, and obviously we've kind of mentioned that you're in the process of recovering from injury. So what's your training routine look like at the moment?
So I rested for about 6 weeks. But now you can't just rest. You have to maintain your cardio, your general sort of fitness. So doing lots of core, biking, stair climbing. I have a leg injury, so it's been a lot stronger, but I have to kind of stay off my feet in terms of that kind of impact. Lots of circuits and skipping and lots of rehab and occlusion training. Have you heard of occlusion?
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of that kind of stuff.
I imagine for you in a sport which is so kind of track focused, that not being able to be on your feet for any kind of period of time or have that kind of high impact in terms of training, that must be very difficult mentally.
I'm kind of known when it's my break, it's my break. Like I'm not like, oh, it's my break, I really need to go for a run. Like when it's my break, it's my break. When I was on a run, obviously with the injury, and I think it's annoying when say friends or family say, I'm going to go for a run, because I'm like, oh, good for you. But I found it okay, because I think I mentally and physically, I knew physically having a break would be fine, and actually doing different forms of exercises still maintains your fitness. We've done that many a times when you're injured, you can't run, you do aqua jogging, you're on the bike, you're, as I say, stair climbing to maintain that fitness. So I've done that many a times to know that transition into running is easier. You might not like it. It's not my go-to, but it means that when I get back to running, it's a lot easier. It's still not the same because it's not the same motion, but it's better than doing nothing. Yeah, it's not really bothered me. And I think the reason why it's not is because I know that this season's kind of, you know, I don't need to get back for anything this season. So just doing all the different things to maintain fitness, and hopefully I'll be back running in the next couple of weeks.
Fingers crossed. Switching gears a little bit, specifically in athletics, how important is sponsorship for athletes to succeed at an elite level?
It's really, if you get sponsorship, it allows you to give full focus to your training physically and emotionally. So for me, I had the biggest step up, and it wasn't the same. I didn't have sponsorship, but in terms of working hours on my feet. In 2014, because I had finished uni in 2011 and maintained working in the sports shop, because I was like, I'm going to have my breakthrough like next year. And it took like 4 years or 3 years from 2011. Sports shop for about 20 hours a week, and I would drive to training in the morning, come back around 10, quickly take my breakfast and shower, and then ride to work to save money on the parking. That's about half an hour, and then be on my feet all day and then ride home. And it's 2014, I really felt like I could make the Commonwealth, and I felt like it was going to be my year, and I couldn't quite do it. I ran like 2:01 something, like, and I needed to run like under 2:01 or 2:01.5, and I kept running 2:01.9. So after that season, I was like, I really need to make a change. Like, I'm there, but I'm not there. And, you know, I can't keep doing the same thing. If I want to achieve the goals that I've set out, I'm just going to do the same thing, have the same results. So I was like, I'm going to do personal training. I have a degree in sports science. I love fitness, and it means that I can, work for less hours and earn more money. And I was so scared, because like, oh god, I've not got any money in my account, like how am I going to afford to go to training, or what if I don't get a client? And it was the best thing ever, because by the time I already had a client sign up, And that season was where I had my, that next season is where I had my breakthrough. Not so much an indoor bit, but coming into the outdoors, I came fifth in Beijing and run 158. And it just allows you, like, I think that time off my feet, just to rest and recover, mentally prepare and get myself, because it's not just physical preparation, it's mental preparation. You actually need time away. You need time away from other stuff to sit and think about how you're going to execute races and just kind of get in tune with your body. And that all takes time. And so if you can get sponsorship to allow you to fully focus on your training and recovery, mental recovery, that really does pay dividends. It really does.
I think you've kind of obviously really highlighted just how important it is in terms of, you know, being able to compete and succeed at an elite level. I suppose kind of as a follow-on from that, do you think that it's difficult for athletes to secure sponsorship or even just gain the attention of brands?
I personally have found it difficult to find different types of sponsorships and I guess show brands what I can add value for them and team up with brands and stuff. I found that quite hard to sort of like show brands what it is I can do for them and how we could work together. I've not found that easy. Forgive me if I'm wrong.
No, I suppose that perhaps brings me to my next point, which is obviously you're part of our Sport Endorsed platform. You've been one of the athletes who's, you know, seen a number of opportunities come through that. You know, how have you enjoyed using the platform and would you recommend it to other athletes to support their sponsorship needs?
Yeah, well, I love the fact that you can see what brands want, well, I guess specific athletes and what they want from you, and you can look and see what brands you, for me, like I'm quite particular, I wouldn't want to just work with any brand. I want to work with a brand that I feel I can really add value in and also what I would use or would support me in my training, and a brand that I love. So I love the fact that you can sift through and be like, oh, okay, I really love that brand, let me try and apply to work with that brand. And that's really great because it's very visual. You can see what's available and they can see what you can offer as well. So I guess it should make the whole process really a lot easier.
And transparent, hopefully.
And transparent, exactly, yeah.
Great.
Because the thing is, you want everything to be authentic and you want everyone to do a good job. You want everyone to be on the same wavelength. And yeah, as you say, transparency is key.
Perfect. So for you at the moment, what are some of the brands you rely on and use to perform at your peak?
So in terms, I buy lots of different brands to support my training in terms of hydration tablets, science and sport. I don't have any particular brands that sponsor me or anything. I get my funding from UK Sport and money that I've saved. I don't have any particular sort of nutrition companies or anything like that. But I'm sponsored by Saucony, so they've supported me throughout this season, which has been really helpful. And I really like their trainers. But other than that, I don't have any affiliation with any brands as of yet.
Yeah, well, not yet, but I suppose maybe now following this podcast, maybe someone's going to listen in and I want to partner up with you. You've been an incredible ambassador, I suppose, in highlighting the clear racial and gender disparity which exists within sports. In your opinion, as a starting point, how can we begin to bridge the equality gap?
Well, in terms of bridging equality, it's all about visibility. So if we can show in terms of females, black females, but in terms of gender equality and showing more visibility of women's sports would be a good start. Because in terms of people seeing it, is where they'll know what they can sponsor and what they want to achieve, and people watching on TV. We have to see it to believe it. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think speaking with Hannah Tyrrell, who you may or may not be aware of, but Hannah was a former Irish rugby international who's gone back and played GAA ladies football for Dublin. And we had a similar conversation. And for her, it was all about visibility. And certainly the starting point was that bums on seats was what was needed. People needed to act in that manner. And, you know, that simply would have a knock-on effect. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think visibility is certainly where we start. Longer term, yeah. For you, looking kind of at your aspirations beyond sport, what would they be?
It's really hard for me to envision, because for me, I've still got things that I could achieve in sport. And also because you spend so long, just that's what you think of. I'm not sure I'd want to be a coach, but I'd be like more involved in mentoring. Coming from, I guess, a disadvantaged background, supporting that sort of area, young people in sport. And kind of, yeah, I really want to kind of convey the message. It doesn't really matter where you come from. You know, always embrace where you come from. It doesn't need to dictate where you go. There's lots of talent and stuff out there. So it's, I guess, making people believe or gain that confidence or that sense of self to know that they can achieve anything. And it doesn't have to be on the track. It's anything in life. So yeah, I feel like I've got a voice there that I could be more involved in my sort of my area or where I come from.
When you think about that transition away from competing into post-career, I get the sense that's something you're not even ready to think about just yet.
No, it's really hard because there's still things that you want to achieve on, I want to achieve on the track. I have different things that I guess I do in my life, but in terms of a career, I feel like I can do lots of everything. Lots of different things. I don't necessarily want to narrow myself down to one thing. And actually, I've spent all of last year and this year, just because we have more time, doing lots of different courses and trying to get more experience. Because the other thing is, because you spend, and I think it's changing, but because I've spent, especially from 25, literally just trying to hone my career and prove to myself I had more potential, more to give, I fully focused on that. And I was very much like, and I think it's a bit of a negative. I was very much like, oh my goodness, I can't give myself to anything else because that'll take away from my running. And then if I didn't achieve anything, if I like missed achieving my running, I'd kick myself for doing that other thing. So I very much didn't do anything else. Like, or I was very much like, if family were like, could you go, do you want to come here? And I'd be like, oh my goodness, no, I can't. Like, I need to rest and stuff like that. So that's kind of mindset. And you know what? I can't kick myself too much because it allowed me to achieve the things that I didn't really do any other things. I think it's changing where you can be more than just your running and you can do some other things and build experience in doing other things. So that's kind of like what I've been doing now, but I would suggest not to do that like later on in your career. Take all the opportunities when it works within your training, or try and make it work within your training environment, just so you feel have other things in your armory that you feel confident in when you do decide to make the transition. So when I get asked the question, I don't necessarily have a finite answer because I'm still building on that outside of my running.
Great. Yeah, that's brilliant. When you think about legacy, I mean, how would you like to be remembered as an athlete?
I would love to be remembered for being brave, honest, kind, tough. I think that's probably good enough.
Yeah. That's certainly something I think we should all probably, strive for, towards the end of our careers. And looking back over your career to date, and it might be hard just to choose one, but what's been your favorite sporting moment so far?
So I think I always say two. So I didn't necessarily, so when I first came in 2015, when no one knew who I was and I came in the top, I was in the top like 40 when I went into Beijing in 2015. So no one knew of me, and then coming out running 158, coming fifth in the final. So that was a really great experience for me. I didn't actually obviously win any medals, but in terms of fulfilling my potential and all the years that I'd worked and put time and effort, grit, in, and it kind of paid off. That just was a phenomenal sort of feeling. But then in my winning the gold in Glasgow in 2019, that was really good because I don't know if you know, but in 2017 I'd made an error coming off the bend off the last lap. Yeah. And so my competitor, who was really good, like pushed me out as you do in the indoors, and so, but then we came through the line like 0.01 apart, and I came second, she got the gold, and I was so, so annoyed on myself because I'd made a tactical error. Like, I was definitely capable of winning the race, but I didn't because I didn't make good decisions. So going back 2 years later and actually controlling the race and just winning the race from the gun, like, it's just a pure sense of relief and just a reminder, well, I guess, and just showed to myself that I can actually win the races, and I'm confident enough and brave enough and tough enough. And I actually did it in a home crowd in the UK. So that was fantastic. And everyone was really happy.
That's great. Yeah, brilliant. And I suppose there's one final question. If you had one piece of advice for aspiring athletes, what would it be?
So I think I probably got two, because recently I've been getting messages from athletes, and I'm very honest. So one of them is just like, do you think I should stop my education to focus on my, I have to work? And I'm very honest, like, that's just part of the journey. Like, I wouldn't suggest not doing your education to pursue your running. In fact, I was the opposite. I wish I'd focus on my education more, just because you need it always as a backup, and that's part of the journey. Sometimes you have to slog it out and do them all, and it will all sort of work out. But it's not a case that necessarily everyone just gets money thrown at them from the start. You know, we all have to ride it out and slog out and work, and, you know, so don't feel like you're being hard done by just because you're having to do that at the start of your journey, because that's life. And then the other thing is, try to enjoy the journey. For me, like, I obviously enjoyed the journey, but I think I was so focused on my goals and stuff, as you are. But I think try and enjoy sort of the traveling. You know, I was very fortunate after sort of getting to a level to travel to such beautiful countries and just sort of enjoy that sort of experience a little bit more with friends or travel buddy, travel athletes who travel as well, and just try and enjoy and just take a little bit of time to reflect on that sort of experience. I'd say enjoy the journey more, because sometimes you're like so focused on the goal, you achieve that and you move on to the next. Well, I have been anyway, and actually it's the process sometimes that's more important, how you grow. If I reflect on the type of person that I was 5 years ago, the experiences that I had, and to now, like, it's all about that journey and the experiences that I've had that have helped me become the person I am today.
Amazing. Well, look, I think, you know, that's a fantastic way for us to end this week's episode. Shalena, thank you so much for taking the time to chat this morning. From myself and all of us at Sport Endorse, we wish you all the best in the future. No doubt we'll be seeing a Go for Gold very soon.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Connor.
That's all for this week. Thanks once again to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. If you're interested in partnering with any of our talent, the Sport Endorse platform is now live. You can review and engage talent at platform.sportendorse.com or download the Sport Endorse app to the Apple Store or Google Play. Be sure to follow Sport Endorse on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, take care.